My belief is that when you are in a more comprehensive setting where education and empowerment of the patient and family is our goal, that's how you develop a sustainability, right? Because they're buying in. You can't have a recovery if people are just passively participating. Our belief at Mary Freebed is you are going to know more about this than anyone. And when people say to me, oh, I'm just along for the ride. No, you're not. The ride here is you learning about this and you understanding why this makes a difference for you and your family.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Mary Freebed Advisory Group podcast episode on care transition. My name is Royal Pavey. I'm your host for today, and I'm also the vice president of the Mary Freebed Advisory Group. The focus of this episode is really on the importance of transitions of care from the acute care hospital setting to post-acute settings. As many of our listeners are aware, bundled payments and other value-based programs have at times emphasized cost reduction more than sustainable functional patient outcomes. And this is the reason why many programs are missing the mark when it comes to overall program value and selecting post-acute services. That's why we've invited our special guest today, Dr. Chris Vandenberg, to discuss the importance of care transitions, the selection of post-acute providers, and the team it takes to accomplish successful transitions of care. So Dr. Vandenberg will be talking with us about the importance of care transitions from a physical medicine and rehab perspective. As a physiatrist, Dr. Vandenberg has held various roles throughout his career, but here at Mary Freebed, he currently leads our access team and the care transition initiatives. We also have with us today two very accomplished co-hosts, Sherry Mullins and Janice Ramsey, both who serve in regional director of network care transition roles for the Mary Freebed Advisory Group. They've worked closely with Dr. Vandenberg developing our care transition model, and together, the three of them really ensure that our focus here at Mary Freebed remains on providing the right care at the right time and in the right setting, while improving that sustainability of outcomes for patients that we serve. So Dr. Vandenberg, thank you for joining us today. Would you please tell the audience a little bit more about your background and what your role at Mary Freebed is?
Surely. As has been noted, I'm a physical medicine and rehab physician, and I've been around for a while. I've been here at Mary Freebed now for 32 years. I did my training in Chicago at the Rehab Institute of Chicago and my internship there as well at Northwestern. And that's where I really started learning about this field and finding how happy I was that I ended up in this area of medicine, partly because of how important I feel that the role that physiatry plays in really maximizing people's quality of life. And that for them really revolves around function. And to do that, we have to understand how they're doing physically, emotionally, but most importantly, that all gets down to the mantra of rehab, which is how are they functioning? And are they where they want to be as it relates to things that are meaningful and important for them? And so for me, it's just been a blessing to have found this area of medicine and to have learned so much as I've gone through my years of experience, which, as you've mentioned, I had a ton of roles here at Mary Freebed. When I first came, I was in private practice and consulting on patients, admitting patients, having an outpatient practice. And then I became medical director during that time of Mary Freebed's outpatient department, and then became medical director of Blodgett's rehab programs and ran a number of their programs, including spine and concussion, as well as seeing patients for them in consultation. I figured, well, that's great. And then I became co-director of Spectrum when they combined Blodgett and Butterworth. And I did that for a number of years, in fact, 22 years. Then I became director of program and network development at Mary Freebed. And that was about 8-9 years ago when we were looking at programs and building our network. One of the programs we started was the Cancer Rehabilitation Program, which is the Betty Bloomer Ford Rehab Center for cancer patients. Then I handed that off and became medical director of access just about 1.5-2 years ago, which really is a fitting role because to understand the services that we offer through all the different phases of the post-acute continuum, I think is really critical for us to appreciate how our patients and families can best be served at multiple different levels, and really define the best setting that align goals and support to facilitate the best outcome possible. And that's the most functional outcome, and hopefully one that is able to return them home into the community.
So Dr. Vandenberg, when you're talking about patient access, and you've spoken about your history of working in acute care hospitals, can you give the audience like specifics regarding the role of the physiatrist in acute care and how that's helping with patient access to post-acute programs? I think because traditionally when people think about physiatry services, they're thinking about care provided in an inpatient rehab or long-term care hospital or skilled nursing facility, but you're really looking at things differently from an acute care perspective.
Yeah, and it's really, I believe, a very important role, not only for the patients and families that we serve, but for the hospital that we're also serving and the teams that are engaged with that patient. The big difference is, instead of thinking about disposition only, these are patients who we've taken care of for years, not just at the acute level, but as they mature as patients and as they develop different impairments, things that get in the way of functioning, and how do we best address those? And so one of the things we do when we first see a patient in consultation is sort through who they were before. And I think about age. I think about what was their level of function before. I call it a functional trajectory. Have they been moving in the right direction or are they losing function? And then, of course, all their comorbidities, the problems that they have that impact them and their health. And then, of course, the event that brought them in to the hospital. And that could be anything that dramatically changes their level of function. And so, of course, we see a lot of neurological patients, be it with strokes or trauma, traumatic brain injury, spinal cord injury. And those are patients that we know as well or better than anyone. And so getting involved with those patients and directing care and directing conversations with the other members of the team is really a critical part of what we do. It helps patients and families, first of all, understand the big picture, which is something that we really focus on, because no one's talking about that. They're talking about their heart rate or their fibrillation or their temperature or their blood pressures or all the things that they have to manage at that acute time. And that's critical. But we come in addition to looking at those variables, we're also looking at who this person is and what's important to them, what's meaningful, what's their family support, what are some of the potential barriers in the community to get them home, and most importantly, try to prognosticate what this is all going to look like. And I think that's a very valuable service to offer these patients. And we do it, obviously, by gathering a lot of information and working with a lot of people. But just to add some of the things I think that are critical, for instance, we'll talk about spinal cord patients. We really take over when we're in there because, you know, we don't take over the spine stability and keeping their blood pressures up in an initial trauma. But we're in there managing pain, particularly a neuropathic pain, and guiding the teams on appropriate levels of medications. We're looking at prevention of problems that can occur that get in the way of the recovery in the future and addressing those and educating our staff and team members and families on those issues. We're managing bladder and bowel related issues because they aren't working any longer as well as the legs or arms, depending on where that level of injury was. So there's a lot that we're doing early, and those teams are really looking for that guidance, as are the families.
So Dr. Vandenberg, when you talk about all these points that you're assessing to get the patient ready to move out of acute care, and you're talking about your collaboration with the team, how does that impact the post-acute setting that's selected for the patient? So you're doing all these assessments, you know what the patient was prior to having the event or what their level of functioning was, you understand their family needs, How does that impact the type of post-acute care needs that the patient has?
Well, that's a great question. And it's one of the things that we're thinking of right, you know, out of the blocks. And so when we're looking at patients' level of function before, and we're also looking at maybe other comorbidities, and, you know, like I saw someone today, they have really bad hips and they just had a spinal cord injury from an abscess, and they have change in their strength in their lower extremities. But understanding this gentleman's limitations functionally before because of his hips, and in addition because of what sounds like spinal stenosis causing pain and limitations of mobility, we find, okay, where were you before? We can potentially address those issues in the future, but that's what we're working with right now. And so what are their ability to tolerate different activities and therapies? And very importantly, what is the support that they have? Can we align our goals, and which I think are critical in talking about what is this going to look like? And I try to paint a path for them of recovery so they can appreciate what it looks like at these different levels of care. But as we talk about the post-acute continuum, you know, what can they tolerate? Are they going to be a good candidate for a more intensive rehabilitation experience at an acute care inpatient rehab hospital that is going to plan a 2 to 3 week admission for them to return home and continue the recovery from there? We're really trying to set them up for success, and not only the patient, but their family, of course. So that's one potential post-acute, but what if they don't have that much care and they have a wife who, or a support person who has their own disabilities, and they can do this, but they can't do more than that. And they have family, but they're working full time. How can we put them into a setting that also gives them support for recovery, but gives potentially more time and less intensive services? That's more of a subacute. And that's going to be based on multiple variables, their ability to participate, but also how we prognosticate their recovery and how quickly we think we can get them home, and making sure it fits with the goals that the patient has and that the family has.
I think that's very interesting. And I think that's kind of what separates the physiatry mindset from maybe other medical providers, is incorporates like that holistic approach to the patient's care. But I've heard you say a couple things as you were talking. And so you're talking about efficiently moving patients through the acute care hospital, making sure they're getting where they need to be at the right time. When we look at that and we think about that, are your physical medicine and rehab consult service that you're providing in acute care hospital, is that impacting patient flow or hospital throughput in any way?
Absolutely. It's one of the most important things that we do, and why we like to get involved as early as possible in these discussions. Again, what we do for a living is we follow these patients over time and we care for them in these different settings. And so often acute care physicians, be it in a critical care unit or in an intensive care unit or on the floor, they will see these patients in sections, but not through their whole care, nor can they really understand or appreciate what the care variables are out there and the differences in these different settings. We wish it was more cookbookish in so many ways. We can be somewhat algorithmic and determining what are the impairments and how much assistance do they need, be it from in their mobility or in their self-care, equipment that is needed. But the assessment process in the acute care hospital is really, do they need help, not to treat them in that setting. So we have to get in there early, kind of picture this path of recovery and get them placed in that right setting as soon as possible.
As you go through that process, there's a lot of people interacting with that patient in the acute care setting. Can you speak to us a little bit today about the types of team members that you rely on to help you collect information and make a decision on where that patient should transition to next, and maybe the value of teamwork as it relates to selecting the appropriate post-acute placement for the patient?
As you well know, rehab is all about team, but rehab is just part of a team in this acute care setting. And we're not the primary team. And so development of the relationships we have with our primary teams and physicians and nursing staff and care managers and therapists are critical for us being able to get to that patient, assess them comprehensively, and get the information we need, and then communicate with them by asking questions, clarifying issues, seeing where they are medically, and better understanding where they are in this journey of their recovery. But then there's the whole flip side of what happens by the team that I work with, which is our nurse liaisons who are in the setting, gathering information from charts and setting that up, talking to families in addition to me having conversations with them, investigating resources that they have in the community, problem solving with the family about how we can make this work, and support that exists in our community, and having patients and families understand that. And so that's this whole group of people who are these nurse liaisons, the Mary Freebed physicians, and the staff who we're going to be handing them off to, our support staff, including our financial staff, because we know we have to balance this all out and coordinate it with our insurance providers. There is a ton of communication that happens. And then as we hand them off to our facility, it's our nursing staff, our physicians, and again, that transition with the patient and family. So there's a lot of people involved. It's amazing how well our team functions, partly because they're just really talented people that are passionate, and we're all on the same page as far as our goals and what we're trying to do.
So I think that's a lot of the work that you've been doing with Sherry and Janice, and they've joined us on this call today. And I certainly, I'd love to hear more about what you all have been doing and understand your processes a little bit more and things that you've developed for Mary Freebed. So with that, jumping in and telling us a little bit about the work that you've done with Dr. Vandenberg.
Sure, of course. One of the things that we've been really working on is assessing the patient to make to determine, based on their current level of function versus their past level of function, and in identifying the most appropriate level of care. Dr. Vandenberg, you talked a lot about the path to recovery, setting up patients up for success, and making sure that they had available resources. So with that, can you give us an idea of what patient access really means to you in relation to post-acute care?
If I had to say it in one sentence, getting people to the right place to maximize their recovery.
Perfect. And then one of the other things that you mentioned early on in your discussion, you talked about maximizing people's quality of lives. So how do you advocate with third-party payers to make sure that they get to the right level of care? Because as we know, there's a lot of barriers to that process. Can you talk to us a little bit about that as well?
What I think insurance companies want is a finite plan. They want a plan where it makes sense, and there's a high probability of success. And that takes a lot of trust in our decision-making. And Joelle talked about this before, this tendency to really not look at long-term outcomes, but what saves the most money now. And that can really interfere with getting patients to the right level of care and their ability to recover as much as possible and as best as possible. So what I try to do is be very prepared, and I really understand the case. I make an argument for why I think they're a good candidate and why alternatives will not meet their needs. And I think that's really the key. You know, most people who are reviewing these, they may have in their mind that they want to just say no, but as you talk about how this is going to help them be successful, I think you can win a lot of people over. You know, the other aspect, of course, as you know, is do they have the medical requirements to get in? And so I'm very prepared to talk about that as well, and how whatever event they had has to be followed closely and managed, potentially for complications, but also get the right expertise so they can get home and do as well as possible.
That's great. Thank you so much for answering those questions for me. I'm going to hand it over to my partner, Janice.
Thank you, Sherry. So Dr. Vandenberg, you've talked a few times about the importance of looking at the trajectory of care for these patients. Can you expand on that and tell us a little bit more about what you feel the role of care transitions is in that process?
So when I talk about a trajectory, it's really about understanding what they were like before, as we were discussing, and how they were functioning, and what are the things that may have been getting in the way of them functioning before, or success of function. But then what event occurred? What impairments now interfere with the level of functioning that they need to return home with the quality of life that they want? A lot of it is understanding how people, what are going to be the primary impairments and how long they're going to have those. And so we can, again, appreciate how we can best help this family and what they're going to be able to support and manage. Because there are just some situations where you just have to have a conversation where this isn't, there's no alignment, there's no fit. As far as the importance of care transitions, I think it's critical for us to better understand, and as much as we can, look at these variables and weigh these variables. And that's one of the things that we're trying to understand more with care transitions, is how can we best predict? And then I think through the process of communication, hand these patients off successfully so they can continue to work on the goals that are set and continue to have the support they need to continue with that recovery. The care transitions process is one where finding the right place to transition is critical, but communicating what our goals are for that setting and what it means to move on to the next setting, and how we perceive that, how we will plan for that, and again, make sure that it fits properly.
Thank you. And as Joelle mentioned too, value-based care is really where things are kind of going. So many of the programs, they focus on cost, but they don't have a lot of function focused. So what is the role or the importance of long-term sustainability of patient function in these care transitions program?
That's truly the question, isn't it? And I believe that's where we have to start gathering more information and data, because my belief is that when you are in a more comprehensive setting where education and empowerment of the patient and family is our goal, that's how you develop a sustainability, right? Because they're buying in. You can't have a recovery if people are just passively participating. Our belief at Mary Freebed is you are going to know more about this than anyone. And when people say to me, "Oh, I'm just along for the ride." No, you're not. The ride here is you learning about this and you understanding why this makes a difference for you and your family. So, you know, for me, value-based care is what it's going to be about. And I've been preaching that for a while. And that's why I think hitting on the long-term sustainability, and do we, by having a more comprehensive team and service of that individual, does that then translate into, you know, a more sustained level of functioning? And I believe it does. I believe that is something that we'll find, because we are, again, putting this time and effort and education so they can continue to sustain it themselves. Because that's really what we're doing. We're teaching, we're preparing them so they can continue the recovery at home and continue the quote unquote recovery for the rest of their life, and living well, and most importantly, making the choices that have the most meaning for them. And I say that a lot because I truly believe it. And sometimes we have to reframe things for them, because they can't do something they thought gave them meaning, but in reality, it was really something else that the meaning came from, not that particular activity. It was what that activity meant to them. You know, I also spend a lot of time talking to families. In fact, I give them books to read. One of my favorite to talk to patients about is Being Mortal by Atul Gawande, who really, as you may know, wrote just a fabulous book on the institutionalization of aging and the choices that people make and what they mean by being successful. I talk to patients about that. Hey, we didn't expect this, and here's some choices, but here are different levels of care that make sense. And sometimes and just to get back to the families, and I think that goes to value, is what makes the most sense for you. Here's a couple options, and I'll talk about them, and I'll talk about what they may look like, and then they can decide what's the best fit, along with me guiding them, of course. Another book that I will often reference to them too, something given to me by my uncle when I entered medical school, which is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, which is a wonderful book about his experience in the Holocaust, but it's also a book about choices and paths that you may not have anticipated, that you thought this was what the way you wanted to go, but something happens and you have a decision point and you have to decide, well, how am I going to do this? And one of those often is a catastrophic change in a family member's life. And am I going to decide that, okay, I may have to give up something I thought was the most important to me for something that may be more important to me? And how do we support them in doing that? And how do we make them successful in doing that? Those kind of conversations that are geared towards value, and I count value, I know that the, not to call them bean counters, but the bean counters count value on the best outcome for the least amount of money. And I believe you can't achieve that unless you're on the right path. I think having those conversations is really critical for that. And it's the direction we need to go.
Thank you, Dr. Vandenberg. That really hits on a lot of information. And you talked about the importance of really, you know, helping the patients through the whole continuum. So we talked about Mary Freebed and how we interact with that. But what also is the importance of having additional post-acute providers in the continuum caring for these patients across the array of therapy services that may be needed?
It's critical because the Mary Freebed inpatient services is the jumpstart, you know, for all of this. But without the rest of the services, it falls flat. Because you have to sustain it, you have to keep it going. You have to reinforce it. As people improve, you have to upgrade their programs and upgrade the services that we're offering them and continue to encourage them, right? And continue to cheerlead them. I kiddingly say I'm one of my most important roles is as a cheerleader. But it's really to let them know, you guys got this. You can do this. And you can get to where you want to be. And so each of the levels are so critical. One of the programs that I really respect and think is most valuable is something called the day program that we have at Mary Freebed. And this is a program actually where you can come in for a half a day. You can have comprehensive services of PT, OT, and speech. It's a team that's communicating, working together, and again, all the goals are aligned much better that way. In addition, they have nursing services that we, I say, throw in for free, along with rec therapy and social worker, and if needed, a psychology on staff. And again, those are the types of services that are required for people to get through the challenges that they need. And I find our day program probably one of our most valuable, along with working with patients and families, but just having the equipment, the expertise, and the team working together, I think, brings the best outcomes. In addition, you know, we have home programs and in-home, and those can be, you know, really, and if they're the right fit, I happen to believe that outpatient services are far more intense and more comprehensive. But often in-home services are what's needed initially to get people comfortable in that setting. That's where they have to function. That's where they have to make it happen. And I do feel that in-home services for brief periods of time, or if there's just huge transportation issues and such, can be of value and are an important part of our post-acute continuum as well.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Vandenberg. I think you've hit on so many great points today, and I really love your mindset of thinking of non-traditional post-acute placement settings for patients or post-acute services such as the day program that's often overlooked for patients. You know, I can't thank you enough for joining Sherry and Janice and I today for this discussion. And I think my hope is that the conversation and the points that you stated today really give our audience something to contemplate when they're looking at designing the future of their care transition programs. And I hope it also helps start reframing the mindset regarding the success of some of the value-based programs, because really the success of the program cost doesn't matter that much to the patient, but their functional outcomes and their ability to enjoy life again really matter. And through the research that we've done with you and the teamwork that we've had here at Mary Freebed, we know that functional outcomes directly impact the patient's quality of life. And we really want to underscore the importance of leveraging the appropriate post-acute providers in value-based programs. And so if there's key takeaways from our discussion today, I hope you'll agree with me that it's really implementing care transitions throughout these acute care hospital settings that function, that emphasize function rather, and that traditional and non-traditional post-acute settings are examined for the patient. And so with that, I want to thank you guys again for joining us. To our audience, if care transitions is something you're passionate about, don't miss our next episode either, where we speak with one of our top researchers regarding evidence-based practice in care transitions. And if you have questions, you want more information, or you need consulting, please email us at advisorygroup@maryfreebed.com. And remember, be happy, be strategic, and be advised. Thank you, and have a great day.